I have been reading different things that come up on different blogs, and I had not heard one thing that I just read, that some scholars think that they can ascertain that this is actually the time that Jesus was born, because if you know the whole Zechariah, Elizabeth, John the Baptist story, you know that Zechariah was a priest. And according to this scholar, he had to go to the temple only during this time, during this month. And if that is when John was conceived by Elizabeth in her old age, then 6 months from then would be March. And if that is so, then Jesus would be born in December. It doesn't matter, but I just thought that was kind of interesting that they would try to ascertain when Christmas should happen. For the most part, Christmas is connected to the winter solstice and the Roman feast of Saturnalia and all of that, but it doesn't matter. What matters is that the Lord has become man, become human. He is incarnate through the Holy Spirit and Mary, and you and I, therefore, have hope of salvation. Whenever that took place, it is for us. So, this visit, which only Luke talks about, is quite fascinating. We believe that Mary and Elizabeth were some kind of cousins, and probably Mary went to Elizabeth to help her out when women are about to give birth, they often try to find some help. I think that's a good thing, to get some help during that time. And so Mary comes, and it's John the Baptist who recognizes who this woman is. And as the scriptures say, he was leaping and kicking in her womb. And we men don't have any clue, but women say that that's quite an interesting feeling. Fine. Good. And it's Elizabeth who then recognizes that this is the mother of our Savior. What a great event. I'm going to come back to this at the end, but the idea of visiting people, especially during this time, and not just visiting them because that's a nice thing, but recognizing the Lord in them. Now, it's easy to see that in children. We got a couple here in the third pew about to fall asleep. That's good, fall asleep. And we see the Lord in their faces. It's also easy to see the Lord in the faces of at least brides. Grooms look pretty good too, but the bride. We see the glory of God. God made us in his image. I think he has a sense of humor too, but in his image, he made us. And so to see Christ in others, but our tradition is, and I'll end with this, and I come back to it, is that we need to see Christ in those who have less, who are poor, who are struggling, who are suffering, who are very different than us. We don't have to agree with them, but there's got to be some recognition that they too are God's people. Or as we sometimes jokingly say, they're God's problem. Fine, whatever. But we need to recognize the goodness, even if it's maybe small, that they have. So, visitation. The first reading reminds us where this is going to take place, in Bethlehem, Ephrathah. Bethlehem. We have all these nice images of Bethlehem. Oh, little town of Bethlehem. We like that song. And you may have heard, but you probably forgot, that Bethlehem is two Hebrew words meaning house of bread. Beth is house. That's why many of the Jewish synagogues have Beth in their title, Beth Israel, Beth Emmanuel, whatever it is, house. That's also where Elizabeth or Beth or Betsy comes from, if any of you are named that. And Lehem is the word for bread. What an incredible idea that Jesus, who is our bread of life in the Eucharist, was born in the town named House of Bread. Great idea. And the second reading reminds us that while we do rituals, we even call this the sacrifice of the Mass, and we do it because we want to receive that bread of life, he reminds us that it's more important to do his will. Hebrews tells us this in the second reading. And his will is that we see that we are consecrated. In baptism, we were anointed. Confirmation, again. That we are consecrated in every Eucharist we do. And we are then sent forth to be a holy people, to do his will. And here's how I'm going to connect the two. To do his will and to see him and visit him in those who are in need. So maybe what we need to do today and tomorrow when we have a few moments of quiet is to pray for those who are hard to love. Pray for those that maybe we don't think will be helped much. We have so much hate and division in our world, in our country. Even in the church, there's division. To pray that we can see the good that is there. And at least recognize that the Lord wills that we come together. Every family has its interesting quirks. Maybe there are some family members that you need to pray for, that I need to pray for folks who've taken a different path. Because God has not abandoned them. He sees his image and his goodness in them, and the Lord died for them. And so let us, in prayer at least, visit those who are maybe hard for us to love and to bring together the goodness that is there. In that way, we can maybe see the face of God a little better in them.